Intimacy. Zen practice is intimacy, is the practice of intimacy. Of course, no need to say intimacy when we are intimate, as we are, as our very nature is intimacy. And yet, we need to say it. We need to say awkward things like intimacy of this time, of this moment. Why? Because of how natural this I, me, mine seems. This I want, I don't want, I shouldn't, I should. This seems like a natural way for us to operate, live, perceive, respond, react to events, to circumstances, to people, to the whole universe, to our whole life at different times, quite often. So we use fancier words, but useful clarifiers to say self-centeredness, or to really see that self-centeredness comes up, arises, manifests as resistance, if I use that word, resisting life as it is, as this moment, which is why life as this moment is such a wonderful, difficult teaching, because we resist it in a seemingly natural way. Natural for us, each of us differently. There isn't a thing called life as it is. There's our life, this intimacy, and yet my desires, my wants, my don't wants also seem natural to us. And following up on them, it seems natural to us to become impatient. If I don't get what I want, if I get what I don't want and it doesn't go away, my fears seem natural truths. My anxiety, when that something arises, fears, anxiety, insecurity, all the various facets of being with life about which we suffer, about which we say, I want, I don't. A late 15th century Zen master, Shōdō Kōsei, described his practice, having spent 30 years in a small monastery temple somewhere in rural Japan, saying, sitting in Zen meditation is quietly withering away my desires, without expectations for tomorrow. When hungry, I eat, or maybe a more accurate translation, when hunger arises, when hunger comes, I eat. When the time comes, I sleep. That's a simple intimacy. Desires wither away of themselves if we don't feed them. Unfortunately, when we feed them, since they're mine, then I should or shouldn't, in whatever self-centered way I manifest, do these things, not do these things, then they only, if I use a funny word, they're only encouraged. Maybe say it better, there's more energy that will result in them arising again in certain circumstances, and may result in us assuming that if they arise, I should, I shouldn't, based on what arises. This is what our mind, our life becomes possessed by when we make these assumptions. When we're not willing to be taught by life as it is, and rather we're, as we say, caught by dreams, dreams that we can call self-centered if you want. It's not necessary because dreams are naturally self-centered for most of us most of the time. And if we feed them and insist on them, then in a way they become a block to this present moment as is. They feed fears, feed anxiety. It's not the fear arising, but making it mine. It's not the anxiety that's a problem, except reacting out of it. And what's the reaction of anxiety? One aspect is insecurity. And there's the impatience, fear that begins to circle one after another. Because it's natural relationships for each of us in our own way to start viewing our life and the people and circumstances that surround us through those prisms, through those lenses. Natural in the sense that it's just cause and effect. Don't have to figure out where the cause comes from, except our practice is to allow the causes to arise and notice if we're feeding, allow ourselves to be supported by this moment as is, which is this visceral intimacy of right here. That's why sitting is so easy. That's why sitting is also so difficult. Because for who knows how long we've been training ourselves that when desires of certain kinds, fears of certain kinds, arise, we should do A, B, C. It's not the arising of the fear or the desire, it's what we do with it that gives it momentum and energy, makes it something that can lead to us being, as we say, caught. Caught in a way not abstractly, but in a very intimately felt one. We could feel it in our body, which is why the resolution of it, which is why the antidote, if I say it in that way, is being resting in, zazening as this moment arising. As this moment arising, which is what zazen is, and which is what, as he says, withering away of desires. Not that there's a desire that exists, but desires which arise, which aren't fed, intimacy that manifests, that's appropriately embraced, allows us, allows the desires to lose their momentum and energy, which allows us to be less at, if I use the expression, their beck and call. Therefore, we don't suffer from them in the same way, and we don't have to cause suffering from them, whether with fear, impatience, anger, greed, for others. And that's what the Bodhisattva practice is, both on behalf of us and on behalf of others. In a way, you could say it's observing this moment, or you can say it's experiencing this moment, or you could use other similar words in clarifying what we're doing in our practice. And that includes noticing any expectations of what should or shouldn't happen. Then, as Shoto Kosei says, my inhalations do not reside. They don't reside in consciousness, thinking. The present doesn't persist. My exhalation do not stir up all sorts of causal conditions, all sorts of causal relations. Which is what makes zazen, which what makes zazening as a practice ongoing so simple and yet so difficult. Because it is being the intimacy of this moment as is, and being this moment as is just the opposite of what we often want to do. We want it to be a certain way. We want to direct who and what we encounter and who and what we don't encounter. Who and what, if I use the word, we have to deal with, and who and what we don't have to deal with. whether it's a who and what outside or a who and what inside in terms of our bodily, physical, mental condition, whether it is people who are difficult or friendly, or situations that are scary or uncertain, and I wish I didn't, and I wish they didn't. This is all, in a sense, the realm of being this Zazen intimacy, being this practice of intimacy, body, mind. I say it in that way, practice of intimacy, body, mind, just to make it clear and remind us that intimacy is visceral. Intimacy is in all and any of the aspects of being ourselves. Sometimes we attend to the physical aspects, whether it's in the most basic of breathing and feeling, bodily sensations, whether we use words as being, experiencing, which is really a combination of the so-called mental and so-called physical, or it's the intimacy of emotion, thoughts that we'd rather not see, be aware of, or that we want to hold on and think about more than play with. All of that are the fodder of intimacy practice. Intimacy practice is also something, I call it a thing, that we don't, you don't need, I don't need, none of us need special training, and yet we need a tremendous amount of attention to, because of how much we do to avoid it. We need attention to it because of how often we find, if I'll use the expression, nooks and crannies of our life that our habits cover over and resist the intimacy of this moment. Intimacy is just that. It's the most immediate who and what you are. No one else can give it to you. No one else can take you there. They might, we might be able to point to it for someone else, but that's about it. And yet, often it seems the furthest away and the most strange and alien to us. Unless, until we practice in this realm, we miss the most ordinary, whether it's opening our eyes in the morning and breathing in and breathing out, feeling how and where we are in the world at this moment, how and where the world is at this moment. At the very first of our morning or wake up, till the very last, it's always right here. And yet, past, future, even the present, get us in trouble based on what we make of them, because they can result in our avoidance of what can't be missed. There's a expression, if I remember correctly, this is Joshu saying, even if you could miss striking the ground with your stick, which of course you can't miss because there's nothing to do, can't miss. And he says, even if you could miss that, you cannot miss this. You cannot miss intimacy. And yet, it can be very far away. So, we find all sorts of supports and encouragement to allow us to clarify this that we always are, this very life that is your life, my life, the life of the universe. We find ways to miss, and therefore must find ways to support us in doing it. Whether it's so-called with ourselves or so-called with others, those as well are filters and words useful to use, but not useful when they run us, when they run ahead of the facts, when they feed our imagination, our imagining. That's the court and holy Four Practice Principles remind us. That's the filter that covers our eyes and ears, tongue and mouth, body and mind. So despite clouds clearly crossing, appearing, disappearing in the vast sky, we don't see be who we always are. We miss the clouds. We miss the sky. We miss our life. We miss our intimacy. Therefore, we remind ourselves with our zazen, remind ourselves with the various chants to be our original face, to swallow up the whole universe that we encounter in our experiencing, which gives us the universe that is the life that we are. Thank you.